I want to give my own welcome to you all this morning. My name is Alex Van Riesen. I'm the lead pastor here. Really glad that you're all here this morning. Want to extend a special welcome to any of you that are visiting or here for the first time. Really glad that you're here. As you know, we're in the middle of a series where we're exploring the different parts of our mission, which God has given us. This is our mission statement, which we've received from God and which we are going to seek to live out as a community and as individuals over the next 3 years. If you did not receive a newsletter a few weeks ago, 2 weeks ago we handed these out. These are on the table in the right outside of the theater here, and it's full of stories and testimonies and more of a picture of even what we're hoping and longing that God will do for us as we explore and take steps in the mission. And while we continue to address different parts of the mission over the next few weeks, today we're going to focus on a specific part of that. But it's really my hope that we're just initiating, we're just beginning the process. This series is really our sort of absorption time, where we're taking it in. We're sort of asking, what is God saying to us as individuals and as a community in this mission? I'm really looking forward to these next number of weeks. I'm going to be coming to a number of the small groups, and I'm eager to hear what some of your responses are to it and what you're thinking about, what God has been saying to you through that. And we continue to welcome that kind of response and feedback on the staff team. Today, in particular, we're going to focus on the first part of the first line of the mission and the word receive. And to begin with, I want to invite Steve Cole to come up, and he's going to share a few things, a few thoughts about the mission, particularly around the word receive. For those of you who don't know, Steve Cole is the chairperson of the board. The church has a board, and you can find out who the folks on that board are if you want to look inside your bulletin. They are listed right here inside the front cover. And we hope in a few weeks at some point here to have all of them up here and introduce you so you know who they are. Steve and the rest of the board also participated in parts of this discernment process about the mission. And before he shares, I would like to pray for him and for us as we get into this and continue to explore what God's saying to us through this mission. So let me pray. Jesus, thank you for your presence with us this morning. Thank you that you have been with us this night before, this morning as we awoke, and as we sit here this morning. We welcome, we invite, and we ask for more of you and of your presence, and for you to speak to us this morning. Thank you for Steve and for all those who participated in listening and hearing from you in regards to the mission. And we pray, Jesus, that you would have mercy on us and continue to lead us forward as we try to follow you. And we thank you, Jesus, and we pray this in your name. Amen. Steve.
Good morning, church. So Alex gave me like 3 or 4 minutes to come up here and do couple things. One is tell you a little bit about me, and then tell you what has grabbed me about this mission. And I'm being surprised already by what I'm liking about it. But first, I encountered Jesus probably when I was back in high school. Some friends from Boy Scouts, believe it or not, I was in Boy Scouts. I think that still exists now, but they got up their nerve and invited me to join them at a high school youth group they were going to at a church that they didn't even go to, but somebody had invited them to, and that meant a lot to them. And I can't imagine what it would be like if that hadn't happened to me, that my life without that is like, can't figure that out. I've been married for 20 years to a wonderful woman named Jeannie. We have 3 kids, a 6th grade daughter, and 2 teenage boys who are already taller than me. Both of those things keep me really humble. I've been coming to Vineyard longer than I've been married, so like 22 years. So I think pretty invested in the place, and now, you know, I guess as part of full disclosure, I'm on the board of the church, and I did see this mission before you did. In my spare time, I run a finance organization at a big software company in Palo Alto. And for those of you who know me, I much prefer to do rather than talk about doing. I much prefer to get to the point rather than meander about. And sometimes, as certain of us have experienced, I can get kind of intense about it. But
no comment.
Yeah, good. But fitting with that, when I first saw when the staff started talking to the board about the mission, I was focusing on the end. Right? Kind of like what we started with last week. What's the purpose? I like that things have a purpose. But I've been surprised by what's grabbing me so far the most is indeed this first word, the receive word. Because as my journey with Christ has progressed, I found that that's really a core part of it. And I think I'm kind of like a laptop that didn't come with a very big battery. If I'm not plugged in, almost all the time I run out of juice. And so for me, this keeping plugged into Jesus thing is what connects with me about this receive word. So it's easy for me. Five things came to mind right away as far as what I'm looking to receive. And although they weren't intentionally kind of sequenced, I think it probably reflects the importance of this to me. First was assurance of Jesus' unconditional and unfailing love. I mean, that's what I receive. Grace and forgiveness, refreshment and peace, discernment and insight, and boldness and courage. So these are just the what's that to me I'm counting on, relying on, expecting to keep receiving. And if you want to hear the when, where, and how, at least for me, you'll have to talk to me separately because I'm out of time. But I think being here is one of the places where I can do those things. All right, so that's what I like about church.
All right? Thanks, Steve.
Thanks.
Thank you.
I appreciate that, and I hope you will ask Steve, because I know that when he throws that out there, he's not just that's not lip service. He would actually really like to talk to you about it and has lots of thoughts about it. So I encourage you to do that. My guess is maybe some of you are similar and experienced some of that Steve was talking about in that whole idea of receiving, and maybe you haven't thought about it that much, but my guess is there's some things we have in common, and I know that because a few weeks ago, right before we started this series, for those who were here on Sunday morning, I asked a number of questions. And the first question that we asked was, do you expect to receive from God on Sunday mornings? And these are the results of the people who were there that morning and what they said on the left side. So do you come to church expecting to receive from God on a Sunday morning? 81% people, whopping 81%, said that they do. I think that's great. I think that's exactly what you want. I think that's why you're supposed to come to church, because there's something there for you. You're hoping to receive. That's exactly the right reason, because there's some sense that God is present and there has something for us as individuals and as a community. But second, I imagine that even those who said that they do not expect to receive indicated that not because they don't actually want to experience God, but my guess is it's because either something has happened in their life, or maybe they've been a follower of Jesus for a while and it's had some experience that's made it even hard to hope or expect that God's going to meet them. See, I really doubt that the people who responded in that 12% are like somehow philosophically believe that God doesn't show up, but rather are in a place where they need a new experience of God initiating with them in order to even hope and expect anew that God is present in their lives. The other question we asked is, how regularly do you experience receiving from God on a Sunday morning? What's interesting here is that even though 80% of the people expect to receive from God on a Sunday morning, only about 45% share that they do, or almost always or often. So a little less than over half said that they do sometimes, which probably translate to, half the time or less. But most interestingly enough is that even the 12% answering that they don't expect to receive, evidently they end up receiving something at some point in time, because only 3% almost said almost never, which really encourages me, because it means that some of us come, and many of us come, expecting God to do something or to receive from Him, and we experience something. And a lot, some of us come on a given day or whatever and don't expect or are really struggling to believe God's going to show up, and He does anyway. I think that's really good and encouraging news. In some ways, or in many ways, this really doesn't surprise me all that much, given who we are as a church. One of the great strengths and legacies of the Vineyard is that there's a belief and a conviction that God meets us when we come together, when we call on His name, when we actually pay attention and incline ourselves, wherever we are, to His presence and His work. You know, one of the convictions I believe that the Vineyard holds so dearly is that knowing about God is not enough. It's not just about knowing He exists and knowing what He teaches, but it's about an experience of God, about having an experience in your life that is personal and unique and convicts you. God wants us to be actively dependent on Him, to receive a constant flow of love and healing and belonging, wisdom and purpose. There's an understanding and appreciation that is fundamental to the way we do church here in the Vineyard. That we want to receive joy and life and hope, and as Steve shared, a sense of unconditional love and acceptance. I would say in many ways this is the strong suit for us as a church. I'm not surprised by this evidence because I think that's something that has been true from the beginning and that we've nurtured and that we want to continue to nurture in the days ahead. That is a good thing, because it is really the foundation to any kind of meaningful or purposeful life. That any of the other things that we're going to talk about, either in the next couple weeks or anything else that we do or think about as followers of Jesus, is built on this foundation of actually receiving something from Him. If that is not happening, whatever else we're doing in responding or in risking or other things will not last. It won't be able to stand without a constant and continued experience of receiving from, being cared for, being loved, being nurtured by God. So receiving from God is central and essential, and I would say even essential to living out this mission that God has given us for these next 3 years. I think that's why God, when we were studying Acts 2, and especially verse 38, what really struck us is this one line, verse 38. Right from the beginning, we saw how important it is for people to receive the Holy Spirit, the presence of God, and to experience Him for themselves. Now, if you'll remember, what's happening in Acts is that this is the time where all the people who are Jewish from around the world, or at least at that time, the known world, in different countries around Jerusalem, they come back to Jerusalem, and what they're doing is it's for the celebration of Pentecost. Now, I don't know if you knew this, but Pentecost was a celebration before the Holy Spirit came on all the people there in the early church. Interestingly enough, it was the celebration of when God gave the Ten Commandments to the nation of Israel, when they were sort of out on their own. And so all these folks who are Jewish in descent, but come from different languages and different countries, come back to Jerusalem, and this is where this wild event happens, where the Holy Spirit is poured out, and all these folks start speaking in different languages, and these foreigners from different countries hear this babbling, but it doesn't sound like babbling because it's actually their language. And they understand and they hear about Jesus. And they're so overcome by this, they're so blown away, they actually think, are these people drunk? Now, I don't know why that's the logical conclusion, right? If they were drunk, I don't know if you've ever interacted with drunk people, but it's rare the experience I've ever heard someone visiting from France hear a drunk person and go, oh, look, they're speaking French, right? And usually drunk people, it's a babbling incoherence, but for them, it gives them, are they drunk? And Peter steps up and goes, hey, I've got an idea. I'm going to explain this to you. And he goes through the whole story of who Jesus was, why He came, and His death and resurrection. The people are so convicted by this. They're so overwhelmed by this explanation of what they've just seen for themselves that they're cut to the heart and they say, What must we do? It's like, what do we do next? And this is Peter's response. The very beginning of his response, it is, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. There are three things that I want to talk about briefly this morning about the nature or the experience of receiving. I think we're going to be unpacking this concept and continuing to return to it over and over these next 3 years. But I want to address three specific things this morning. The first is that receiving requires action. If you look in this passage, Peter tells these Jewish people that if they want to receive the Holy Spirit, they're going to need to do something first. They're going to need to repent. The Greek here is to change one's mind or to turn away from what they have believed or thought in the past and to now trust and put their hope and their belief and to follow Jesus and then be baptized. For them to receive for themselves what they have just seen demonstrated in the lives of these other people and what they have heard now for themselves, they are going to have to turn away from whatever else it is, or maybe even turn away from what they've believed and who they've heard Jesus to be before this, and now believe what they just heard from Peter, and then be baptized. In other words, for them to receive what Peter was offering and what they wanted for themselves, they needed to put themselves in a place to receive it for themselves. You have to put yourself in a place. Now, we who are here this morning understand that implicitly. When you come here on a Sunday morning, we, to varying degrees, understand that we are putting ourselves in a place to receive from God. Now, maybe you didn't consciously think that, like while you're getting dressed, I'm getting dressed and I'm going to receive from God. And maybe that's part of the issue for us. But I think, in general, what we've seen and what the survey showed is that we're expecting to receive and to get something in coming to church. Most of us are here are hoping and longing to receive from Him. But the truth is, if you don't actually come, if you don't actually put yourself in a place, physical or mental, to receive from Him, you don't. I mean, just logically, the people who are not here this morning do not experience what happens here this morning. That does not mean they do not receive from God. It means they do not experience what God is doing here in this place and in this time this morning. I believe that in those experiences, that whether we're here or whether we're out doing our lives, we're out driving our car or we're at work, that all these experiences of the presence of Jesus are supposed to motivate us and encourage us to seek and to long for more. In other words, whatever it is that we do experience about Jesus, whatever experience we have this morning, whatever experience we had last week, wherever we are, when we have some experience of Jesus, it's to motivate us and encourage us to take steps to want more. I don't know if you've ever had this experience, but I had this experience of waking up this past week one morning and just totally anxious. Now, I won't ask for a show of hands, you know, but have you ever had that experience? Maybe it's not anxiety, maybe it's despair, maybe it's fear, maybe it's something, I don't know, but you wake up in the morning and you just have this strong, overwhelming sense. You have no idea where it came from, but it's a very unpleasant way to wake up. Have you ever had anybody can relate to that part, you know? You're like, what the heck is that? I was just sleeping. You know, why do I need to wake up like that? And I realized this week as I was experiencing this that I have a choice to make in that moment. I have a choice to do what I normally do in those times where I wake up, I feel that thing, and then I think, okay, throw off the covers, start the coffee, take a shower, and move on. Right? Just keep moving, because the act of moving sort of gets you out of whatever you're having. Or I could actually stop and take a moment and ask Jesus, Jesus, I want to receive from you right now. Help me now. So I did that. Now I realized in that moment, that wasn't even enough. I needed even more. So I called Susan in, my wife, and I asked, I said, would you pray for me? Because I don't know why, but I'm just like super anxious and I don't want that. I want more of the presence of Jesus. And so she prayed for me. Now, there was no great solution. I didn't have a big question I needed an answer to. No problem was solved. As far as I could tell, everything was still on my to-do list. There were no checks or lines through things. But I felt the experience and the presence of God in a way that allowed me to then move on and start the coffee and take a shower and move on with my day in actual peace and with the presence of God rather than just trying to gut it out. Rather than just trying to stick it out on my own. Can you relate to that? I believe that that's what Jesus wants for us. And these followers of Acts, I believe they knew this and they experienced this so deeply that in the next verses after what I read to you, it says they devoted themselves. Devoted is such a strong word. They committed themselves with such passion to meeting together, to sharing meals together, to worshiping together, to praying together, to being together because they wanted more of what they had received in the gift of the Holy Spirit. They wanted more of the presence of Jesus as it was revealed through being with other people, through acts of justice and care for others, through serving, through generosity, that all of these ways were ways that they experienced the presence of God in their lives. They were actually ways that as they were acting, they were receiving. You see the mystery of that? The mystery of that even in those acts, even in responding to what they experienced, they were receiving from God. Whether it is by putting yourself in a physical place like a church or a small group or by inviting Jesus' presence into wherever you are at that moment, receiving from Jesus often requires action on our part that makes space for Him to speak into our lives. But receiving also requires more than just physical or mental act of putting yourself in a particular place. It requires expectation. This is the unique or the particularly tricky place, I would say, of receiving. It's the place where I think we get tripped up the most. Because for any of us, no matter how long, and probably some of us have followed Jesus for quite a while, maybe some of us are new here today. But no matter what, the thing that I've experienced for every single person who's tried to follow Jesus is that we get excited, we get passionate about something, we ask God for something, and sometimes it seems to happen exactly as we're expecting and hoping, and other times it really doesn't. And what do you do with that? And one of the things that I've seen that can happen as you move along in your life is that you get to a place where, wow, that really doesn't part bothers me. So I guess one of the ways I will manage that is by stop expecting God to work. I will just stop expecting, or I will decrease my expectations to something I know that will be delivered. For example, I will go to church and all I will expect is to have a nice cup of coffee and a donut. Now that's a good achievable bar, because you can come here and that's going to happen, right? It's going to be some coffee and a donut, and man, your day's made. Now but I would suggest to you it's kind of low. And it's not the bar, it's not what Jesus wants for us. But it is a challenge, is it not, to continue to expect in the face of certain things that we expect and hope for that do not happen. And yet it is exactly that to which Jesus calls us. In Acts 2:38, when Peter tells these people to repent and be baptized, he essentially promises them that they will receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is present and at work in each of them. And in each of us who are decided to follow Jesus, no matter how we particularly feel about it or how much we can even grasp it at a given moment. Do you understand, as you are following Jesus, the Holy Spirit is at work in you now? He is transforming you, He is wooing you, He is caring for you, and there is a way to which we understand that, and then there is a way to which we are completely oblivious. I don't think I ever realized how oblivious I could be to the kindness and goodness of God until I had children. Because it's such an amazing experience to see your children completely oblivious to what you do for them. It's eye-opening, and it's not even malevolent. It's not like they may be wicked, but I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about just pure, just sort of complete cluelessness. Like somehow the dishes just get cleaned, and the refrigerator gets closed, and the toilet gets flushed, and all these things that happen. But isn't that exactly what happens to us with God? We don't understand all the things, and because we're focused on the things that didn't happen, or we're focused on other needs, and we lose track of all the ways that God is with us and is present. The truth is that we have received the Holy Spirit. We need to be on alert. And we need to be asking, how are you at work in my life now, Jesus? How are you at work in my day to day? How are you at work in me to be a gift to the person sitting next to me on the Caltrain? How are you at work in me to be a gift to the person standing next to me in line at the market? When we come on Sunday morning, or we go to small group, or we meet with someone over coffee, or we go to IKEA, or we walk into work, we need to be expecting to receive from Jesus. And the beauty of that is this morning, if you hear that and you think to yourself, I'm not doing that, the response is not sort of to feel ashamed or to feel bad, but to cry out and to ask Jesus, show me, teach me, lead me how to receive more from you from day to day. To have your eyes opened. Bottom line, we need to be expecting to receive from Jesus all the time. Part of why this is on the mission statement for us, why this is something that we need to pay attention to, is because in all reality, we are mostly probably asleep in many areas of our lives to what Jesus is doing all around us. Do you ever have that experience where you kind of get woken up? Like, whoa, Jesus is actually doing it. I had that this very last week. I play basketball at the Y on a regular basis. And I don't know about you, but when you go to certain places, you go to that place to do a thing, right? Like, you go to the Y, you go to work out, right? You go to the market, you go to buy groceries. You go to work, whatever. And so I go to the Y, I go to play basketball. And so I'm in basketball mode, and I'm sitting there, and it's my turn to sit out, and I'm sitting there waiting to get back in the game. And this guy standing next to me, I've known for like 3 years, he just sort of pops off. He goes, yeah, I'm in this long-distance relationship. That's kind of weird. And I'm realizing, and I'm sitting there going, yeah, you know, kind of like, you know, the way you do where it's like, that's cool. Let's just focus over here on the game. And I think to myself, and I hear Jesus say to me, and he goes, do you know, he just opened up his life to you, right? He just opened a door. And all I want you to know is, hey, I'm at work in his life. Whoa, you're at work in his life? And have you ever been struck by the fact that if you actually are willing to admit it to yourself, you don't actually think that God is at work in those people? God's only at work in these people where I can see it demonstrated because they raise their hand or they go to church or they do this. But God is at work in all these people around. Do you understand? God is eager, desirous, hungry that everyone we ever meet knows him, connects to him, feels his love and compassion for them. We lose that so easily, don't we? And I was just sitting there and I realized, whoa, God loves Carl. And it started me thinking, well, I need to, how does Jesus want me to be a blessing to Carl? Receiving is going to require, it's going to demand, it's going to ask for us to risk having expectations of him to work. Not that we will always know what we're going to receive, but we will know that he is present and that he is active and that he is at work. And what we are to do is to be alert and responsive to what we see him doing. Finally, this might seem counterintuitive, but receiving requires initiative. You know what surprised me while I was preparing this sermon? What surprised me is I looked up the word receive in the New Testament. It's like 150 times. It's a huge, it actually has a number of different definitions, but every definition, even a variation, started the exact same way. And do you know how it started? It started with these three, listed these three definitions in this order for receive, okay, the word receive. To take with the hand, lay hold of any person or thing in order to use it. To take in order to carry away. To take what is one's own. To take to oneself to make own. Now, I don't know what strikes you about that, but when I read this, I was kind of blown away. Because when I think of the word receive, the visual picture I get is sit back in a big comfy chair. And then somebody comes up with a nice platter, right? And gives me a drink and a big bowl of chips, you know, or something like that. It's like you receive. This thing comes to you, you welcome it in, but it's a very passive, more experience. I was shocked that my view of the word receive is a passive one, but the scripture would tell us, and this definition would tell us, that the word is actually extremely active, and it is extremely proactive. That to receive is to go out, to get. Acts 2:38 even uses the language that the gift, Peter says, the gift of the Holy Spirit when talking about receiving the Holy Spirit. But it is anything but a passive experience. Look at these verses. Well, you can look at the early followers of Acts received the Holy Spirit. And then it says they took hold or received the experience that was being offered to them in the teaching of the apostles. They took hold of the experience of community with other believers. They took to themselves the presence of the Holy Spirit as experienced in the miracles and the generosity that those around them were doing. What you see is you don't see a group of people who respond into greater passivity, but you see a people that when they receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, respond in greater action. They take initiative. They want more. They are proactive. Jesus is at work in us and all around us and wanting us to take that kind of initiative. I think it's really tempting, isn't it, to view maybe particularly Sunday morning, but maybe a small group or maybe some other spiritual or religious event. Look at even the way we do this thing. You come in, you sit down, and you receive. You get this word spoken to you. But it's interesting to think about, how do you handle this experience? Is it something that you just take in, or is it something that comes to you and then you engage Jesus over it? You wrestle over it. But we have to ask ourselves, how do we do that? Do we take initiative to even think about this, to wrestle with this stuff outside of this hour? Jesus wants us to take that kind of initiative with him. I want to encourage you to avoid the passive approach, especially when it comes to any communal event. I want to encourage you that even today, as we exit here and we go out to the hot dog fundraiser, I'm sure hot dogs are like your favorite thing for lunch, right? You know, I have to admit they are kind of one of mine. I realize most people grow up and they don't eat hot dogs anymore. A few years back, I went on a cruise with Susan's family. They took us for her father's 70th birthday. And at lunch, you know, cruises, you can pretty much eat anything, right? This is only, I couldn't even believe it. I had hot dogs every day. So I'm a Cretan. What can I say? And so, but even as you go to the hot dog fundraiser today, as you interact with people around coffee and donuts, I encourage you to take initiative and to ask the Holy Spirit, what are you doing here? What are you saying to me? What do you want me to say to them? What is happening as we interact in this time? I want to suggest to you that Jesus is present and he's at work to glorify himself, to bless you, and to bless those around you. Let's decide together to receive in a way in this church that reflects the words that are used in the scripture, which is to take hold of, to take, to acquire, to want for oneself. And of course, I'm not talking about in order to hold on and to hoard, but to receive and to welcome in that we can share in and then give to others. For us to fulfill our mission that Jesus has given us, we're going to need to be a church that is deeply committed to receiving from him. Receiving it from him by being active and expecting for him to be at work. I don't know about you, this is going to be a journey for me. Like I shared for you about my time playing basketball, I find that I'm constantly waking up to the ways God is at work around me. I'm finding I need Jesus to wake me up to realize that he wants me to receive and be open to him in every context that I'm in. Let me suggest two specific ways that we can respond to this word together. One that's in a couple weeks and one that is something that we're going to do this morning. And then I'll close. In your bulletin, at the bottom of page 4, there is an announcement for an event. It's by the short little title, Receive, Respond, Risk, Worship Night, and 24-Hour Prayer. We couldn't think up anything catchy, so we just exactly titled it what it is. So, on Friday, May 25th, we're going to gather at Covenant Presbyterian Church, just down the street that-a-way, to worship and pray for the mission together as a community. We're going to spend about an hour and a half at first, worshiping together, and then praying, interceding, inviting and asking God, taking initiative for what God is doing in us and through us with this mission. And then that's going to launch a 24-hour prayer time. And what that means is there's going to be hour slots that everyone in the community can sign up for to pray for an hour. And we're going to use that time to pray for the mission, to pray for ourselves, to pray for the ways we can receive and respond and risk and invite and welcome Jesus to work in us and open our eyes. I want to encourage each of you here. I want to invite you to come to that event. And I want to invite you in the spirit of this word to sign up for one of those times of prayer. To sign up for one of those times of prayer as a way to risk, to take initiative, to challenge your expectations, to take action and come and look and expect God to show up. It's my hope that you'll see this event and that we'll see it together as a way that God is helping this mission seep into our souls and as a very practical way for us to respond to it together. The second way we can respond to this word is by taking communion, which we're going to do in a few minutes. When we take communion together, what we are doing is we are remembering that Jesus gave his life so that we could be in relationship with God forever, that we would not have to be cut off from him. What we remember as we take the piece of bread and as we dip it in the juice is that we have received the greatest gift that we have ever or will ever receive. That what has been done through Jesus' death and resurrection has made everything else that we're talking about possible. And what we should receive anew this morning as we take communion is that Jesus is leading us each day to take hold of, to receive the life that he has given us through his death and resurrection. My experience is that when I started following Jesus, it wasn't like, okay, I've started following Jesus, that's it. It seems to me that every day I am taking hold, I am receiving more and more of what it means to be a follower of Jesus, to be a part of his kingdom. What are the things that matter to him and that he wants to see happen in this world? We receive and we take hold of that as we follow him, and we take hold of that this morning as we participate in communion. And so I'd like to invite you to stand. I'm going to pray for us. The worship team's going to play. And after I pray, you can sit down because we're going to distribute the elements, the bread and the juice to you. But I want to pray for us first. And I want to pray that we would be able to receive communion in a new way or in a new light, given this word this morning. That we would be able to receive it understanding that even as it is offered to us by the person next to it, what we are saying is we choose to take hold of the life that Jesus is offering us. We take hold of it today, and it is our hope and conviction to take hold of it each day until his kingdom comes in full. If you are a follower of Jesus, I invite you to do this, to participate in this. If you're not, but you hear this today and you realize what I want most is to follow Jesus, then I encourage you to go ahead and dip the bread in the juice and participate in communion. Otherwise, you can let it go by. No problem. Let me pray for us. And then the servers will serve the communion, and then we'll have a time of worship and prayer ministry after that. Let's pray. Jesus, we ask that we would receive from you right now. I pray that for any of us that are struggling with even expectation of your work and of your presence, that you would come and meet us right now, that you would pour out your Holy Spirit and meet us as we take communion. I pray for those of us that long to receive more of you, that you would expand the ways that we see you at work in our lives and in the world around us. Come, Holy Spirit. Bless this time. We receive you. We take hold of you. Even as we hold this bread and dip it in the juice, with initiative and action, we ask and we long for more of you. Amen.